This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Speaker of the House, although there is the interim, who could become the interim that stays until January. A lot of confusion on the Hill. No confusion about how many of us feel about the situation in Israel. And boy, some crazy things have happened during the day, including the U.S. intercepting some missiles that were headed toward Israel, believed to be, of course, Iranian-backed through Hezbollah. And luckily, we had a ship that intercepted it and made that not happen and land in Israel. In the meantime, it is about the president giving a little speech to the nation about the situation not only in Israel, but Ukraine as well, and tying the two together. My name's Kate Delaney. Thanks so much, as always, for hanging with us. Let's start with that. Here's what the president had to say.
We can't ignore the humanity of innocent Palestinians who only want to live in peace and have an opportunity. You know, the assault on Israel echoes nearly 20 months of war, tragedy, and brutality inflicted on the people of Ukraine. People that were very badly hurt since Putin launched his all-out invasion. We've not forgotten the mass graves, the bodies found bearing signs of torture, rape used as a weapon by the Russians, and thousands of Ukrainian children forcibly taken into Russia, stolen from their parents. It's sick. Hamas and Putin represent different threats, but they share this in common. They both want to completely annihilate a neighboring democracy, completely annihilate it. Hamas, this is a stated purpose for existing, is the destruction of the state of Israel and the murder of Jewish people. Hamas does not represent the Palestinian people. Hamas uses Palestinian civilians as human shields, and innocent Palestinian families are suffering greatly because of them. Meanwhile, Putin denies Ukraine has or ever had real statehood. He claims the Soviet Union created Ukraine. And just 2 weeks ago, he told the world that if the United States and our allies withdraw, and if the United States withdraw, our allies will as well, military support for Ukraine would have, quote, a week left to live, but we're not withdrawing.
All right, there you go. Very direct, I have to say. I agree. There's no question about that in tying Israel and Ukraine together and pledging support. This is the big setup for asking the money of Congress, if Congress can get its act together, to help Israel and, of course, aid Ukraine as well. I mentioned the missiles. Let me give you more on that. Here's the broader sort of strokes on it. Thank goodness the USS Kearney sailed its way into the Mediterranean Sea. That's the idea. We're putting up the front. So the U.S. warship operating in the Middle East intercepted multiple projectiles near the coast of Yemen. That happened on Thursday. They were fired by, as I already mentioned, an Iranian-backed group. They were engaged in an ongoing conflict in Yemen. We're talking about maybe three missiles that were intercepted. The Pentagon had this to say, saying that, yes, the Kearney shot down the land attack missiles as well as several drones, too, that he threw that in, that were launched by these forces in Yemen. So it's just a demonstration of air missile defense and what we've built in the Middle East and what the U.S. is prepared to utilize to protect, as the Pentagon said, our partners and our interest in this important region. So thank goodness, like I said, that the Kearney was there because it got into position. It went through the Suez Canal into the Red Sea on Wednesday. And the whole idea is, okay, this is going to help ensure maritime security. And what are they looking for? Stability in the Middle East. So this is just one incident in a series of things that have happened in the last couple of days with U.S. bases being targeted by drones in Syria. We live in the drone world now. That is warfare. We're seeing that with Ukraine and Russia and what's happening in Ukraine. So targeted by drones in Syria and Iraq because of all these tensions that have now, of course, bubbled up since Hamas went on their sick, twisted raid and went after people, of course, in Israel on October 7th. So there were a couple of minor injuries, I guess, that have been reported on the base. Nothing serious. I double-checked that with a source, and it's, I'm sure it would have been reported if it were something bigger than that. But, of course, it's a big deal that it was targeted. And I think this situation, folks, the lid has just blown off of this. So, of course, the State Department is cautioning all Americans abroad to be very, very careful and exercise super increased caution because of what's happening, not just in Israel, but in other parts of the world, that there's an increased potential for terrorist attacks and demonstrations and violence and that kind of thing. The U.S. Embassy in Beirut, easier for me to say, Beirut, urged American citizens to make plans. Leave the country. Get out of here, they're saying. Get out of here as soon as possible while the options are available. Because if that fighting intensifies, which it looks like it will, near Israel's northern border, we've been talking about that a lot with Lebanon, then it gets even trickier. And this is all part of this ongoing conflict now about the Gaza Strip, Israel and Hamas. And we're seeing these emergency situations. Look, the UK is doing the same thing. I have friends in the UK. They say they're doing the very same thing, urging citizens to take advantage and get away from areas where it's about to be lit up. That's not quite what they're saying, that it's about to be lit up, but that there's a chance that there could be violence. So it's not just the U.S. urging its citizens. Of course, that's the pure sign across the board for what we're seeing and just how crazy it has become, how poker red hot in the last couple of weeks. Let's see what happens with Congress. Let's see what happens on the money front, because we still don't have, we've got dysfunction. We still don't have a Speaker of the House. And we understand the importance of that, right? Many of you have sent me emails, and we've talked about this in the second hour. We're going to go into the mailbag. What happens when you don't have anybody but the interim? And thank goodness there's an interim. Thank goodness that was in play. But a group of House Republicans are supporting a proposal that would expand the power of a temporary Speaker, and that temporary speaker is Patrick McHenry from North Carolina. And let's open this discussion up, and maybe we can push this into January, because Congressman Jim Jordan is not getting the votes. He lost two votes on the House floor in his effort to grab the gavel. So on Thursday, he agreed to support a resolution that would have empowered Patrick McHenry to temporarily perform the functions of the speaker until January 3rd, 2024. And then Jordan, that so doing that would have allowed Jordan to remain the conference nominee for speaker and try to corral that support, right? But they're still struggling to coalesce around this, so there's still this, maybe not unprecedented, but this massive dysfunction. President Trump and a former lawyer in court. She cuts a deal. What does it mean? We'll tell you next.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Show a conversation with Dr. Catherine Yao, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Boy, really scary, guys. You start to listen to her and you think of your girlfriend, your fiance, your wife, your sister, your mother, whoever, whatever significant woman in your life or women in your life. And it is scary, the stats on breast cancer. I know some breast cancer survivors, people who got it really, really young. And then what's up in tech? Oh, wait to hear what's up in tech. We have Dan Zingaro and Leo Porter are going to join us, and they're award-winning researchers, and I talk all about them, computer science, you know, teaching professors, and this really cool textbook that they came up with that is gaining a little bit of traction out there, and they talk with me about what does it mean. You know, you think of computer systems and science and software engineers, and it's not just that profession, but we're seeing what's bleeding over, you know, in AI. So that is coming up. But as I said, how about this? Trump's attorney, Sidney Powell, pleads guilty in that Georgia election case. And so how's that going to impact the former prez? Well, first of all, what's interesting about is part of her guilty plea, she's admitting her role in the January 2021 breach of the election system in rural Coffee County, Georgia. Remember, that's where it was. With the help of local GOP officials, what she's saying is a group of Trump supporters accessed and copied information from the election systems in hopes of proving that the election was rigged against Trump. So what she has to do by pleading guilty, they're recommending a sentence of 6 years probation. 6 years probation. She also has to testify at future trials. For all these other trials of everybody else, she has to write an apology letter to the citizens of Georgia, pay $9,000 in restitution and fines, and turn over documents. Wow. So now she's the second person to plead guilty. Because remember, the bail bondsman, Scott Hall, pled guilty and agreed to testify at future trials, too. The other 17 defendants have all pleaded not guilty. So, I mean, here's the key thing in this. I just told you what she pled guilty, so what does that mean for her? But then what does it mean for Donald Trump? Because as this case moves forward, and what it requires is that she has to testify truthfully against her co-defendants at any upcoming trials, which would include Donald Trump. Because there's no halfway cooperation here, right? There's no, oh, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. No, she's on the hot seat, is what I'm saying. She's on the hot seat. So whatever she decides, she's going to dump out there, and of course, she would be cross-examined and all of that. But, you know, this may be one of those look-over-your-shoulder things. You think of what the impact would mean, and the impact could have, you know, rippling effects. And not just for Trump, but everybody else, too, that's involved in this. And remember, this was the whole thing about speedy, 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 make this happen quick, the speedy trial. So, you know, her plea deal really is big for the prosecutors in this. And moving forward, it does mean that she will be testifying, and they will absolutely have her heavily involved in this, right? Because she was in touch with the White House and other people in the surroundings of the president, the former president, during that whole post-election period. Because remember, she threatened, I remember her words, she threatened to release the Kraken, that's what she called it, by filing lawsuits across the country, and she claimed she could keep Donald Trump in power, but then all of her cases were deemed frivolous and they were ultimately dismissed. But what will she say and where will that land is really, 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 I think, key in all of this. All right, a little odds and ends because there are things that we talked about that are worth the follow-up. I talked about Jeroen Vandersloot. I mean, I've been doing this show for 16 years, and how long have we been talking about poor Natalie Holloway's family and what happened and how distraught her family was? And now, finally, after two decades, she vanishes in Aruba, and everybody suspected him. But he had means, he had a father who had means, and they danced around everything. And will he ever serve time for bludgeoning Holloway to death on that Caribbean island? Who knows? But the details are out there because Aruba has a statute of limitations for homicide, and that might have passed. In fact, it probably did. It probably did. I couldn't nail that down today, but in the couple of people I talked to, they believe, they couldn't 100% say, but they believed it has. So his confession, after he pled guilty in that Alabama courthouse to extorting and defrauding Holloway's family, that just all was out there, you know, pumped out there. And hearing it in his words, oh, that he walked her body into the water and just went deep into the water and just let it go, just pushed her out there, and then walked home, and then that was it. I didn't even hear any remorse. He said he's a different person now. It didn't seem like any remorse in that voice to me. I mean, what an awful thing. Smashing her with a cinder block. Oh, terrible. It does make you think about, I'll tell you what, the whole idea of the chaperoning, going on these trips, because those senior trips are so big. And I think that really, really what happened to her made a lot of schools stop and think about, okay, kids will be kids, and how many people do we have going on the trip, and what happens when we get out there, because this was a very, very sad, sad, sad situation. All right, this is a sad situation, too, because I got a lot of emails about it. I wanted to make sure that we talked about this, too. Is somebody who I've talked to in my career a couple of times, and she's always so gracious to do some shows with me, retired Olympic gold medal winning gymnast Mary Lou Retton, right? A scary, scary setback in her fight against this rare form of pneumonia after it looked like she had a bunch of progress that was happening and she was going toward recovery, but she's still in the intensive care unit and is just, as her daughter described it, really exhausted. At the beginning of the week, they thought, boy, this is looking really good. And now it's not looking very good at all. You just think, wow, rare form of pneumonia. And people forget how deadly pneumonia can be, but she is definitely fighting for her life. And, of course, there was an online fundraiser because her daughter said she didn't have the health insurance, and then everybody was so surprised by what they heard and remember the memories of Mary Lou Retton and her incredible career that, you know, $10 here, $20 here, whatever it is, and it's well over $400,000. I mean, you got to remember, she won 5 medals, but this was in the 80s during the 1984 Olympic Games in Los Angeles, more than any other athlete at those games. I mean, that made her a household name. She was the first woman to earn an Olympic gold in the individual all-around event and was inducted into the International Gymnastic Hall of Fame in 1997. And for just a long time, I mean, even recent times, she's always out there encouraging other young women in the sport and always talking about the sport and talking about the Olympics. And she's just a great ambassador, period. So it's really sad and really, I think, hit, maybe for that reason too, hit people really, really hard when they heard it was, you know, Mary Lou Retton. And again, you make that connection with pneumonia and how deadly pneumonia can be. And she got this crazy rare form of it. And that's exactly what happened to her and put her in this situation where it's that roller coaster up and down. And I'm sure some of you listening to me have been in that situation with relatives. We are at the ICU. It started off something small, then it became something much bigger, and then you trace it back, and it's pneumonia. It might not be the same kind that she has, but it's some form of pneumonia. All right, as I said, coming up, what's up in tech? We love to talk tech on this show, right? It's back, it's bigger than ever, and it's coming up next.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. President Biden just addressed the nation from the Oval Office, covering the conflicts with Israel and Ukraine in relation to U.S. national security. The State Department has issued a warning advising Americans abroad to exercise increased caution. According to spokesman Matt Miller, the advisory issued today points to
the potential for terrorist attacks, demonstrations, or violent actions against U.S. citizens and interests.
This advisory comes in the midst of escalating tensions between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas. The proposal to authorize interim Speaker Patrick Henry to assume the role until January is facing resistance. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan informed reporters this afternoon that Republican members have opted not to vote on a resolution to grant McHenry this authority. Jordan has affirmed his continued candidacy for the Speaker position. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
What's up in tech? One of my favorite segments that we do on this show here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I am so psyched to welcome to the program. They're in our virtual green room, Dan Zingaro and Leo Porter. They are award-winning researchers and teaching professors in computer science. Dan is at the University of Toronto. Leo is at UC San Diego, two of my favorite places, by the way. We're going to talk about AI and large language models like ChatGPT. They have a book that, a textbook that is called Learned AI Assisted Python Programming with GitHub Copilot. Does that sound like gobbledygook to some of you who don't understand computer science? Well, that's why they're here. And we love computer science. It runs very deep in my family, although I was the one that went the route of TV radio. But the rest of the family, they're completely on board. So welcome to the show, Leo and Daniel.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Kate.
Let's talk about, I'm going to start with you, Leo. Let's talk about, you two have known each other for a while, done some research, I'm sure put out a lot of different work. What led you to this book? Because the timing is perfect for this.
Well, really, back last November, Dan had actually already started diving into the tools like ChatGPT and Copilot and started to play with them and see how well they did at solving the kind of programming problems that we would give in our classes. And he uncovered very quickly that they do exceptionally well. Like they essentially solve all the kind of homework and exams that we used to give. And so he contacted me and said, you know, we really have to rethink how we teach our introductory courses. I dove in the same way, immediately, honestly, panicked a bit because, wow, these tools are essentially solving all of our assignments. What are we going to have our students do? And it only took some time playing with it before we realized it's not the end by any means. It's actually a shift in what matters. And so what we realized was we used to care a lot about them solving these really small problems, but that's what the LLMs can solve. And now we can have them solve much larger problems that can be more creative. And there's a whole bunch of skills that go into solving those big problems that we weren't teaching explicitly before, and now we can. Yeah. So we're actually really excited about it.
Yeah, so Dan, that's great to piggyback off of what Leo just said. What do you really dive into in the book that can help these students so they get that sort of leg up, I guess, in this new world?
Yeah, so I think for a long time we spent our introductory CS courses on syntax. So syntax is the way that you put symbols and words and operations together to create a program. And if what I just said sounds extremely boring, then you're right, because a lot of students don't find it interesting to work on this syntax level. A lot of our students want to write programs that do something interesting. Right? Maybe that like solve a real problem that they have or their community has. And so for such a long time, they've been mired in these syntax issues. And so one of the things that we're able to do now is focus at a higher level with these tools. These tools almost always get the syntax right. And that's just like something they're extremely good at. They do make mistakes, but they make mistakes on higher level issues, not syntax. So when Leo and I discovered this, we were super excited because it meant that we didn't have to spend all this time anymore in our courses on, oh, where does the semicolons go, right? Like all this kind of syntax stuff. And now we can get students writing programs that run earlier. And our dream using these tools is to have students building tools that matter to them earlier on. And we think we've made a large step forward in this goal using these new tools.
Wow. So Leo, you know, it's interesting what Dan just said. Again, I use the word get a leg up. So this is great for students because you think of how fast that ChatGPT, AI, all of that different forms of AI are moving through the world and how it's being used in so many different corporations and in different fields and all of that. So you were telling me off the air, the adoptive rate is pretty high when it comes to like people listening, their IT departments, all of that. This becomes, I mean, this is the future, right? And so the more that these students are armed with this, the better I think they would be equipped to get some of the jobs when they get out of school. Am I right?
Oh, I completely agree. The adoption rate is really high among professional software engineers. And it takes away just a really small component of the job. So professional software engineers spend a lot of time figuring out what is the software we should be writing? What are the features that need to be there? How do we make sure our users use it correctly? How do we design these gigantic beasts of software working in teams? There's lots of communication there, and all that is still there. It's then at some point or another you finally decide this is the code that needs to be written, and then you start writing the code, and that's where the LLM comes in and can be really helpful. And what they found is essentially very expert programmers aren't aided that much by these tools, but the more inexperienced programmers are in fact aided in efficiency and in getting the code correct.
Yeah. Daniel, how do you see this in the future? I mean, this is a layup question in a way, but it's a wide open question. How do you see this? Because it's the Wild West. How do you see this changing the future as far as computer systems are and software is concerned? I mean, it's just, like I said, it's moving so fast.
Yeah, I think we're going to see an increase in the number of programs written, number of apps written. Leo and I think about it in terms of other advances that we've had in computing over the years. It's not a hot topic, so people don't really talk about it right now, but there have been other transformational tools along the path to where we are now. And without them, we wouldn't be able to make the huge websites and apps that we have now. So one of the big deals is we had something 50 years ago called compilers, and without these things that are called compilers, we just don't have, we don't have operating systems. We don't have apps. We just, they allow us to work at higher levels, than we could before. And that's how we see these large language models working as well. People are going to be able to get more work done. And they'll be able to take less time to get the work done that they would do before in more time.
So this really is a great tool when we're talking about advancing not just the careers of the students that you deal with, but what's happening out there in the world. And we're talking about coding, for example, and what Daniel just said about apps and working in that world. Because, you know, there's so much concern about AI, and I understand that, but this is the other side of it. There really is such an upside, isn't there?
There is. There absolutely is. The kind of piggybacking on what Dan said, I see kind of every major technological change that's happened in programming over the years has just led to bigger, better software for society. And so I feel this is similar. I would add, though, I think it's going to potentially change who are the software engineers, right? I think it's going to lower the barriers to becoming a software engineer, and I think we're going to see more people programming and more people writing the software that they need to solve tasks on a daily basis. So I don't think it's going to be just software engineers who change. I think it's going to be accountants and business managers and all these other folks who are now empowered to write very small pieces of software on their own to just make their jobs easier or better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Not just the engineers. So, Daniel, what do you hope happens with your textbook? You took all the time, you put this together, all the thought, all the research, all the work that goes into it. What do you hope happens with it?
We were writing that book in the context of educators panicking and not knowing what to do with their upcoming courses. And we felt that this was an opportunity for us, you know, two educators who have been at this for a while, who clearly have some free time on their hands for whatever reason. We thought it was an opportunity for us to help the community. Not that we have all the answers. We certainly don't. I'm sure our book is going to be hilariously out of date, you know, in 3 years or less. But we just thought it was an opportunity to give some guidance to the community, just giving steady, here's how a course may look now. And we hope that professors and teachers and independent learners, for sure, they pick it up and kind of follow us on this journey of what it might look like now to program in this new context. And of course, we expect people are going to make changes to what we propose, right? They're going to adapt and adopt the book in various ways. But we've had a few hundred at this point instructors express interest in the book, and we're very happy to, you know, engage with them and provide instructor copies of the book and ultimately just help the community move past this temporary panic.
There you go. I love that there's, look at the interest that you're getting out there already. Dan and Leo, we are out of time, but thanks so much for coming on What's Up in Tech.
Thank you.
Rock on. Thanks, Kate.
Great game changers right there. Next week on What's Up in Tech, more on AI, where and how it's being used.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And did you know this, that 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime, making breast cancer the most common non-skin cancer diagnosis in women? It's being recommended through these new guidelines that earlier mammograms should happen starting at age 40. We're pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Catherine Yao, who is a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the director of ACS National Accreditation Program for Breast Cancer Centers. They set breast cancer guidelines for more than 575 centers and hospitals across the country. So, doctor, tell us, why should women get screened for breast cancer?
So screening for breast cancer has been shown to decrease rates of breast cancer mortality, and screening finds cancers at a smaller size and earlier stage when they're more curable and people can have less aggressive treatments. So it is important to get your screening mammogram.
Why is screening for breast cancer so important?
So again, screening really decreases breast cancer mortality rates. We've seen that again and again. And screening finds cancers at an earlier stage and a smaller size. And that means women can undergo less aggressive treatments, less aggressive surgeries, less aggressive chemotherapies, even radiation. So it really is important to get a screening mammogram.
What kinds of things should women look for when choosing where to receive treatment for their breast cancer?
So I think there's several things that women should look for when they're newly diagnosed with a breast cancer. It's important to go to a center that specializes in breast cancer, that is multidisciplinary, and has specialized programs for breast cancer patients, such as access to clinical trials, genetics, plastic reconstruction. It's important to go to an accredited breast center. You want a center that's been accredited by the National Accreditation Program for Breast Centers of the American College of Surgeons. And most importantly, you want a team that's multidisciplinary and a team that you can trust and that you have confidence in. You want to make sure the team is there for you, that they have your back, that they will be there when you call, and that they'll develop a personalized treatment plan just for you.
What is breast density, and how does it impact breast cancer risk?
So breast density is the balance of the fatty tissue in the breast with the glandular and fibrous breast tissue. You can only tell if somebody has dense breast tissue on a screening mammogram. There are four density readings, and if you're in the higher two readings, then you would be in what we call a dense breast tissue reading. People with dense breast tissue have an increased risk for breast cancer, and so their screening regimen may change and be different than women that don't have dense breast tissue.
Doctor, where can we go to learn more?
I'd recommend that you go to the American Cancer Society website. They have a wonderful website with lots of information to read about breast cancer. The American College of Surgeons also has a wonderful website. If you go to facs.org/breastcare, you will be taken to a page with several different video modules, and they will go through treatments for breast cancer, different surgeries for breast cancer. We are actually using these modules in my clinic today.
Thanks, doctor.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so important stuff there to pay attention to, obviously, when we see the statistics seem so grim, especially when you have a lot of young women getting breast cancer. Recapping what we were talking about earlier in the show, U.S. forces attacked 7 times in the past 48 hours. And in the president's speech to the nation, he didn't mention that. Surprisingly, he didn't mention that at all. He talked about Israel. He talked about Ukraine. And you know, there's the big pitch, obviously, for aid in both of those situations. And I agree with what he said about the horrificness of what's happened and how Hamas is not for the Palestinian people. They're using them as shields, but that always has been the case. And now, because Israel is just bombing the Gaza Strip, constantly hitting it, and because we're seeing the horrible crisis there and the loss of life there, it just, as I say, it bubbles this all up where you can really see it. And sadly, there's constant talk about this peace and brokering a peace deal and all of that, and what are we seeing here because of Hamas? And I think that when we see some of these protests, people forget Hamas is a terrorist organization, period. They are not for the Palestinian people. They're not worried about the Palestinian people and what's happening to their people at all. And then what happened on the 7th with innocent children, grandparents, whoever, kids at a rave. Ridiculous. I don't see how any of us can assess that and look at it and think that is not a terrible, awful tragedy that should not have happened. Awful. And then we had the U.S. warship intercepting 3 missiles heading out of Yemen. So we've got U.S. forces under attack. We have the hostages, which some Americans are part of the hostages that were taken just over the strip and into Israel. And the specifics of that, we don't even know a lot of the specifics of that. This is nearly 2 weeks since it happened. And the IDF is continuing to search near the Gaza border, and they're working around the clock because they're finding bodies and they're identifying bodies. More than 1,400 Israelis were killed, 4,600 others injured in the attack. Injured in the attack. Families of the people who have been taken have expressed massive rage, anger, whatever, at Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister. And the fact, even they're expressing anger over the fact that he approved the humanitarian aid deliveries of water, food, and medicine to Gaza through Egypt, which is something that Biden had a hand in trying to approve that, allowing 20 trucks to go through that are supposed to be there on Friday. This isn't going away. This is a terrible, terrible situation. And I keep saying the same thing. I feel like a parrot. But meantime, closer to home, we have the problem on the Hill. And it is a problem because you have to have the speaker. So if the interim speaker is going to be the interim speaker and is going to assume the gavel and the responsibilities through the beginning of January, this is a Band-Aid that has to happen versus all these ridiculous votes, another vote, another vote, another vote, another vote. And that's what's happening. There's another vote coming. So, but yet another vote is happening, 8 a.m. on Friday. A press conference at 8 a.m. prior to the third round of voting for the House speakership. You have Jim Jordan, who feels confident, is trying to portray that, who says he's running for speaker, he's going to go to the floor, he's going to get the votes, and he's going to win, is what he said. He met with 22 holdouts who have voted against him in either both or the second round of voting. But did he win them over? Because you have reporters that are like white on rice over there watching everything. It's not looking good. It's not looking good. It's 217 votes to get that speaker's chair. So now we got this third attempt. You get the press conference, and then a couple hours later, you get the vote when the House is opened up at 10 a.m. So that's 10 a.m. that will happen. Wow. The world keeps turning, right? Keeps on turning. Keeps on turning, my friends. I hope that you have found some relief in what I found relief in, and that is in sports, right? So we had a Thursday night football game. I feel compelled to mention this. I know we have a lot of Saints fans listening. Oh, the Saints came roaring back, but Jacksonville outlasted them 31-24 at the Superdome on Thursday night. So for Jacksonville, it was their fourth consecutive win. They're 5-2 now, and their lead grows bigger in the AFC South. You know, unfortunately, the rhythm just is not there for the Saints. They are the coulda, woulda, shoulda team. I like Derek Carr. And it always comes down to those waning moments, but it's never, never enough. Oh, by the way, the Astros beat the Rangers again. So that series is tied. And, oh my gosh, the Phillies, they lost in a really tight one, too, although they still have a one-game edge. Because it is for the right to get to the World Series in the National League, and of course, the Rangers and the Astros, the American League. In these crazy, chaotic times, my friends, be safe, be sane, and for goodness sake, be happy. Right, Guinness?
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.